The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 10th of June, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Rowland Stone Green. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We got lots to talk about, and I hope the intro to the show this morning will clue you in on who and what we are talking about this morning. There is lots to talk about. I've got some guests in studio, and I think we're going to have a very interesting conversation. I'm going to tell you all, give you all the questions right in, well, in a moment. But first, just a little housekeeping to do. On the Clock is asking you to join the Jeannie Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for Hope Walk 2026. Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay Park. Walk in honor of a survivor, in memory of a loved one, or simply to support those facing cancer today. And I say, of course, if you are surviving cancer, let us walk with you as you walk for yourself, right? Let's support Jeannie Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group. If you can't get out to walk, get up to make a donation, in kind or otherwise. June is Cancer Awareness Month, and Jeannie Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group is on the move, literally and figuratively. Now, at the National Art Gallery, there is a relatively new exhibition, a permanent exhibition called The Garland Woman, Uncovering Our Bahamian Selves. The Garland Woman reflects on the life and accomplishments of the late Patricia Glinton Michaelis, recognizing her position as that of a visual art historian. Now, today in studio, I have some people who I am going to call historians until they tell me directly exactly what it is they do, whether we can call them a historian, whether they refer to themselves as historians, as they keep the stories that they think are vital and most important. I, too, am excited about the conversation because I have a art project, continuous. It is a project about reclaiming memory, among other things. The press is our collective memory, and we have an obligation to ensure its integrity, whether it's by adding to it, adding to provide greater context for other submissions, or simply declaring, I could tell you the truth. I was there. Me and Shine was on the dock when the Titanic went down. You say Fifth Avenue and something, right? Like this Shine figure pops up in Bahamian stories, but I think, personally, I think these Shine stories are actually history being told in a subversive way, or sort of a, I want to say clandestine, but that would suggest like nefarious. You know, like how the enslaved people had to code things so the master didn't know what they was talking about, right? And I think the Shine story, right, is so important to us. Like, ain't nobody gonna confirm it or affirm it for me, but I know Blind Blake and Shine wrote Love Alone, caused King Edward to lose the throne. Because now that we've shined a light, is it Sean? The historians could tell me, because it's about the past, right? Now that we are shining a light on the story, we realize that it was Nazism that caused King Edward to lose the throne. So why was it so important for that story to be told? And why was Shine there with Blind Blake telling it? Also, Shine was on the Titanic. Song Titanic and Shine, Bahamian version, sung by Ronnie, right? Shine say, by the time the news got to New York that the Titanic was sinking, he was already on Fifth Avenue, having been on the Titanic when it left shore. Now, there is a beautiful art, what I'm going to conservatively call conspiracist history, right? That is building upon archives. That is two stories. One, the Titanic was not the Titanic. It was another boat that was already damaged, and this was an insurance scam. I know my boy Shine know about that, right? The second deeper conspiracy is tied to timing. See, right after the Titanic went down, the global financial environment changed drastically. And there are some historians that believe that this boat was intentionally sunk to usher in a new era in economics. And see, but Shine was there, right? Some of the things that we think are just stories may actually be history. Or maybe it is that sometimes we talk about our history as if it's only a story, as opposed to a living, breathing thing. So if you want to see my collection of memories, go to Ponciana Paper Press. The show, Radical Acts of Publishing, an exhibition of alternative books made right there in the studio, is up for the next month and a half. The show was this Saturday, Ponciana Paper Press, number 12 Parkgate Road. They're open Thursday to Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturdays, sometimes we go until 6, sometimes. Just got to check it out. So, I've got two guests in studio. I may have frightened them with my intro, but I've told them, since they are the experts in the room, they must take the charge. If I am saying something that is incorrect, right, or improperly represents the process of documenting history, it's their job to correct me, right? I just learning. In fact, every day I ask the question, WWHD. WWHD. What would Hubert do? What would Hubert do? Now, some of y'all saying, Miss, you better get that Hubert specific. No, I don't mean Hubert Chipman. And I don't mean Hubert Minnis. Hubert Minnis is walk outside in the flood water barefoot. I'm not going to, well, I would ask what would that Hubert do, but I could do the opposite. I just could do the opposite. What would Hubert do? I'm talking about the one and only Hubert Alexander Ingraham, former Prime Minister of the Bahamas, has held 3 terms, though, non-consecutively. Today we are talking, and I'm going to let these people introduce themselves because I want them to give a fuller description of themselves that I could possibly give. We are looking at or talking about the release or the launch of the fourth volume of a series of books written by Mr. Hubert Ingraham. I have to get it correct. As a Bahamian, I can say it how I want to say it, but it's important to say it how he would say it. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. Hubert Ingraham in his own words. I think we're talking to the publicist team that brought this volume, and I think all 4 volumes, to us, the Bahamian people. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. In studio, I have Mr. Nico Mikolas, and I have, I'm going to get this name correct, Maria Teresa Butler,
right,
joining me in studio. Now, anybody who could make the Right Honorable Hubert Ingraham sit down and take pen to paper like a good student, I scared and impressed. I want to talk a bit about bringing these volumes to life. And then, to be honest, I didn't even know we were at volume number 4. I had some things I wanted to submit right away, right? And I thought, ooh, you missed it, right? They've already launched. I thought we were on launch volume number 3. So I'm going to ask the question to the audience, because maybe we could compel the Right Honorable Hubert Ingram to launch a 5th volume with the questions that we ask. So here are some of the questions for the audience. Who is the most strategic prime minister? Who is the most strategic prime minister? Who is or was the best prime minister? Because there could be a difference between the most strategic and the best. Especially for the audience, what is your favorite or most memorable Hubert Ingram quote, moment, or interaction? And then I'm going to try and figure out what these books are about, because I just don't know, but I know that we should know, you know? I know that we should know. This is one of those things, everybody should have at least one volume in their house, right next to their Bible and the encyclopedia. These are the important things. So good morning. Please introduce yourself to the audience and tell us where we begin in this conversation for volume 4.
Hi. Good morning, and thank you for having me. I'm Teresa Butler, and I worked for 2 terms with Prime Minister Ingram as his permanent secretary, and then in his last term as his senior policy advisor. I think that's basically what I want to say about myself. The book collection really was an attempt to record what Mr. Ingram had done throughout his public life. And it took some doing to convince him that this was a worthy project and that people would be interested. But having seen his work and reading about what he had done before I ever met him, I thought it was very important. And I worked with his personal assistant from his law firm, and then she came into government in his first and second term, to collate all of his public statements, mm-hmm. whether they were speeches at civil clubs, whether they were in Parliament, regardless to where they were, we collated them. And I said to her, we ought to publish these. Mr. Ingram thought we were completely mad and said he didn't want anything to do with it. But we kept at it. We collated them. We put them all together. Mm-hmm. We started the project most likely right after his last term in office, when he lost the election in 2012. And then I had all of these speeches, and I didn't know what to do with them. And fortune smiled on me, and I met Nico and Patty at a book.
SeaWords Festival.
The SeaWords Festival. And I said to them what I had been doing.
I think it was
2018. This was 2018, and I said to them, I've put these speeches together, but I don't know what to do with them. I want to publish them. Mm-hmm. And as Nico and I say, the rest is history. We quickly realized, well, first of all, Nico said to me, well, we want to keep this to 200 to 300 words.
Pages.
This pages in, mm-hmm. in the book. And I thought, oh, this poor man, he doesn't understand.
You have no idea.
He has no idea what I have put together. So I said, well, come see what I've got. And we did that and quickly realized that this was going to be a matter of volumes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to just stick a pin for a second. I want to ask Mrs. Dolores Ingram to leave the room so we could row our papa for a moment, right? The idea that, first of all, the idea that you didn't think it was of value, sir. We're going to interrogate that, right? But then the idea that you didn't think that you were of value, right? I think those are 2 separate things. The first thing I want to say is this should be mandated by law, right? There should be legislation that requires that all prime ministers' speeches be documented, right, for post-term a formal collection of their quote-unquote work, right? Because technically, this isn't the work. However, what I found is, and I guess this is the rowing part, politicians don't do so little talking to us while you're interim, right? And then you suggest it's this the delicate nature of governance that prevents you from talking all the talks. But once you hit the pink assignment, surely some of this must be documented for the purpose of preservation of history, to be able to understand the evolution of culture, among other things.
So, you know, a point that I made earlier, and this is something that is Patty herself, I know she would argue this. This needs to be removed. This isn't politics anymore. This is now history and a record of history. And, you know, I'm going to say this. I remember in a conversation with Mr. Ingram and Mr. Christie when we started promoting the first volume, and Mr. Christie walked in with this photo of the lion. If the lion doesn't tell the history, then the story is the hunter's.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when Mr. Ingram approached Mr. Christie, he said, "So where is yours? When is yours coming?" He turned to him and he said, "I don't have a Teresa." And that is very important. People don't realize the importance, first of all, of Teresa. Teresa brought all of this, had the vision to this has to happen. And then she went, she found Patty and myself. And us coming together was, you know, fortuitous in that. And then because Patty realized this is historic, this is history, this is putting down information. We as Bahamians, we have a bad habit. We do not record our history, and we need to. Mm-hmm. We do need to record it for every prime minister. I agree with you totally.
Right?
This needs to happen.
And so not that it is politics, right, but that it will be helpful in understanding
who we are and where we come from.
See, I'm getting ready to hire Ms. Butler right now because I think June 16th will mark the 10th anniversary of the gender equality referendum, right? And there are so many stories that need to be told.
But you need to tell them.
No, that's why I'm hiring her.
Why would you hire her?
To help me do the thing.
I agree, but understand, this is the problem that we have as Bahamians. We don't see the significance.
Mm-hmm.
People wouldn't know the significance of Patty and Teresa having to work together. They had lived history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course I get excited and all the rest of that sort of thing. You know, Patty always said, "Nico, calm down, calm down." But
don't calm down.
You understand?
Hold on.
That.
Let me just say that this year we elected. And I got a nice scene right here. We elected 9 women to Parliament. I think the largest,
which is excellent. Number.
Yes,
it's excellent. Except now you must view that in the context of history, right? Mm-hmm. Which is we are walking into the 10th anniversary of the gender equality referendum.
And
now we can see, right, that I want to say that the rhetoric about ensuring women's equal and equitable participation in public life and political life, right, is just rhetoric because you had 10 years, right? You said, the political class said, hey, we are so committed to equality between men and women, right? That we want to entrench it in the Constitution. And the truth is, the only thing that is preventing them from entrenching it, right, is that when you create constitutional equality between men and women, then you entrench the principle of non-discrimination on the basis of sex, which means that you cannot tell a woman she can't live like a man, and you cannot tell a woman she can't marry a woman. That's the reason why it won't go forward, right? That does not prevent you, though, from using the means you have to your own to propel more women forward, right? So understanding why some people are not celebrating the nine women in history in Parliament the way you think they should be celebrated, you need to understand that this moment doesn't stand alone. This moment is the present moment, a part of a history that informs the present.
So I want to make one comment. And it was one of the things Patty died disappointed in, okay? Because the failure of the referendum to give women equal rights, and then my disappointment in Bahamian women themselves, why would you vote against rights? I could never understand that.
Because we don't want the gays to get the rights too. We don't want them to get the rights too. Anyway, let's get back to this now.
If we return to, to the books.
Volume one right. is the beginning. And I was so intrigued that he starts with human rights. He starts with sort of opening up this space. And for me, that was important because I think one of the most important speeches he made was the 1998 statement in response to the anti-gay activity taking place with cruise ship arrivals.
Yeah. I wanted to say that a difficulty that we have in the Bahamas is that everything started today.
Mm-hmm.
There is no history. And one of the great ideas behind this collection was to really, there are no new ideas. These are ideas that politicians, ordinary people have pursued for many, many years, whether it's local government, whether it's human rights, all of these things, whether it's reforming the public service, all of these things have been attempted before. And we should learn from what was done and if they failed, why they failed, and how we could move forward. And that's what we tried to do in this collection, was to gather what Hubert Ingraham had done and said and collate it so that students, journalists, ordinary people who are all voters in our system could see what was done and know that everything didn't start yesterday or this morning, and that there is a past. As you say, Mr. Ingraham made a very important statement on gay rights
and human rights
and
in general,
human rights in 98. He has spoken on many, many topics throughout his career. And now some of those end up on social media or on the internet, but many of them don't. And I thought it was important that we put as much as we could together and make them available continuously for people to be able to refer to. And Patty, that was Patty's idea. It was a nice coincidence when we got together of what we would do. We divided all of these statements into four volumes. Originally, we thought three volumes, and I think many people expect three volumes. But the second volume, which was dealing with the economy and the budget process, turned out to be very, very long. Our first book was 1,000 pages plus.
Yeah.
Nico almost died after.
I'm going to be honest. When you approached us and we were taking on this project, I went, what the hell have we done? Are we going to be able to finish this? Are we going to be able to even do this job? But four volumes later, yes,
here we
did. We did. It was one of the last projects that Patty worked on. She died before the last one was finished.
And I need you all to know, there have to be a volume five because somebody, somebody have to put these quotes.
You can tell Mr. Ingraham that somebody, yourself.
Mrs. Ingraham,
I'm
please.
I'm not getting in there.
Mrs. Ingraham,
I leave that to you all.
That is definitely for Mr. Ingraham.
Mrs. Ingraham, please leave the room while we row our papa. From the article, many persons have called me daddy, 21st of November, 2025. And then the follow-up articles, I just give you all the context. Ingraham steps into Golden Isle's firestorm ahead of by-election, 22nd of November, 2025. And here are two quotes that I think need to be added to the volume five, which is just quotes, right? Which is just Hubert Ingraham quotes. quotes. And this one says, PM Davis has dismissed calls for Campbell's removal, insisting their personal relationship has no bearing on the process, saying, quote, many calls me daddy, close quotes. It was against that backdrop that Ingram stepped on stage. Hubert Ingram, former prime minister, quote, fellow FNMs, I hear daddy been here. Well, Papa Reach, close quotes. And it on its own, it, you see, it's like the moment just made itself. In fact, I want to ask Ingram and Davis if they're in an improv comedy troupe together, because that thing rolled right out. The second quote from the same moment. However, he didn't. Oh, that line was the former PM's way of signaling two things: his reentry into national political discourse and his willingness to confront the, quote, daddy, close quotes, narrative. However, he didn't stop there. Quote, just a word of advice to daddy, brave. Oh, no, to daddy. Brave, my friend, I want you to know that Fox and Sabas is called Perry Christie daddy. A word of advice is enough, close quotes. That, okay, so here's what I'm saying. I'm not even sure I know what the quote means yet. I'm not certain. I am certain if there's a book of Hubert Ingram quotes, that quote gets to be in it. Also, if you have been interested in the words of Mr. Hubert Ingram, take a moment to search this article, Hubert Ingram's Inclusive Social Vision, 28th of June, 2011. Hubert Ingram made one of the most courageous and progressive responses ever by a Bahamian prime minister. It read, in part, quote, I have been chilled by the vehemence of the expressions against gay persons made by some in our newspapers and over our radio talk shows. Admittedly, there have also been expressions of reason and understanding on this matter on the editorial pages, but these have been largely lost in a sea of bitter, poorly reasoned diatribe, close quotes. He pressed further, quote, I do not believe that the future of the Bahamas will be placed in danger because chartered cruises by gay persons are permitted to continue to call at Bahamian ports. The future of the Bahamas is not threatened by foreign persons of homosexual orientation. Homosexuality is not a contagious disease, and it is not a crime in the Bahamas, close quotes, right? And so, like the article says, it was a brave and courageous statement, and also to be made in 2011, mm-hmm. right? And so, volume five have to be the quotes.
Take that up with Mr. Ingram yourself.
We have finished.
All right.
But volume four deals with education in the Bahamas mm-hmm. and what he did with education and health in the Bahamas and what he did with health, the infrastructure as well as mm-hmm. the staff. It deals with community building, which touches on the social that you're referring to. Mm-hmm. These are all matters that he has commented on and spoken on, and it's people are able to refer back and read and understand that none of what happens today started today. Mm-hmm. And I think...
Yeah, there's another subject in there that was covered, crime as well, which yes. Has been and continues to be. Look at what happened on the weekend. That mm-hmm. that is a major debate that is ongoing. How do we solve the problems that we are having, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera?
Do the speeches, are they accompanied by commentary?
Yes, well... Each chapter is preceded by commentary.
Okay.
And I have written the commentary introducing the various sections.
Okay.
So whether it's education or health or community building or crime fighting, those are all,
yeah,
there are comments.
It sets the situation, the tone, what was right. going on at the time, the way people were thinking. And
provides context.
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly. Sets
so
that's
right. Another question. This is, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean in his own words, a collection of speeches. Are there any interviews?
No, they're all speeches.
Look at volume five unfolding, sir. By sir, I mean the Right Honorable Hubert Ingram. Look at volume five unfolding, quotes and interviews. See, because I have questions. I have questions that can only be answered on CI 1622 Avenue and Frank Watson Boulevard. I need to know, are there any speeches addressing the alleged confidential informant number?
You mean at this time?
Ingram.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of, no.
All right, in the book.
No.
No speeches addressing things like that. I just want to get a sense.
In volume one, there's a lot about past and what created him.
Okay.
But I don't. I think there's anything about confidential.
All right.
Informants.
The moment that's been captured on video, where Hubert Ingram, a potential candidate, is in front of a building. And he's rowing, and he's telling them, the people, you cannot come to our town and have a meeting about us without us in the meeting. Has that small speech been transcribed and it's in the book?
No, but it's referred to. That occurred when he was fired from cabinet, and then he was eventually expelled from the PLP, and that is all in volume one. It's the political development of Hubert Ingram.
Okay.
The then Prime Minister, Lyndon Pindling, had gone to Cooperstown to try to identify someone to run against Hubert Ingram, who was no longer going to represent the PLP.
Mm-hmm.
But they invited Mr. Ingram to the meeting. He went to the meeting and discovered that his supporters in Cooperstown were not allowed in. And the clip that you saw, that you're referring to, happened.
Okay.
But I don't think that's been transcribed, no.
All
and
right.
It's not included in the collection.
And so I'm constantly reminding myself in the conversation that this is a documentation of Hubert Ingram public life,
yes.
Right? And not necessarily on the fringes and on the aside.
So, correct. So understand, the books are not about politics.
No.
You have to remove them from politics. And they are about recording history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what occurred, the topics that were hot that he was addressing, the situation of our country, And that's how we have to place it, a record of our history,
right,
rather than a political statement.
I see it as history that will provide context.
Yes.
For people who may be, for a group of people who may be trying to understand the current political culture.
Yes.
Right? It is history that provides context, but not politics itself.
Yeah, it's not about politics. Yeah. It's about history. It's about, you know, what was going on in the country and the issues that he had to address. Like, one of the things were the inheritance laws. He had to push to have those changed because they were ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's things like that, you know, and even the debate that is still ongoing about human rights, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you cannot reduce it to just gay rights or women's rights. It's human rights.
Right, and that's why we're not succeeding, because we think you could get one without the other, right?
Exactly.
Will reading these volumes help me to make the distinction between Papa the politician and the Right Honorable Hubert Ingram, Prime Minister of the Bahamas?
I think they're one and the same.
I say the same thing.
Okay.
I think these will show how he implemented what he believed. And the you said to me before we went on air, what was a favorite quote? Well, the favorite quote has got to be, I say what I mean what I say.
Mm-hmm.
He said it in his speeches, most especially when he was running for election in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
But it continued to be said. The important thread through these speeches is that if you read his earliest speeches and you read his last speeches, fundamentally he's the same man.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't change. He may have matured. He may have added to. But the basic principles that he learned as a child with mm-hmm. his grandmother are the principles that he's carried through with throughout his entire career.
Listen, a text that came in 2 minutes before you gave us that quote says, this is the Bennett's Harbor Cat Island quote by Brave from the 60s. This is not new. By Brave? Hold on. I mean what I say. Brave was only seven in the 60s.
I don't think anyone can take ownership of that quote. Quote has been ushered by many, many people.
But I'm just saying, I wasn't born and Brave was only seven in the 1960s, man.
Yeah.
However, I also find that the title of the book is the greatest irony because in the assistance of history to provide context, I realize that when he says, I mean what I say and I say what I mean, sometimes you don't know what he meaning to say because he ain't saying it to you. So, for instance, the quote I read from the Golden Isles by-election one of the rallies leading into the general election when Hubert Ingraham said nobody could steal an election, I think Hubert Ingraham was speaking to an audience who knows who they are and was saying the FNM financial machinery is not prepared to fund an investigation that will potentially tarnish the entire country, not just one political party, right? And I think there may be many statements like that where, yeah, you meant what you said, but not all of us know what you meant to say, right? And yeah. So
I have some advice. Take that up with Mr. Ingraham. Go and have a conversation with him this.
Listen,
we cannot speak for him.
No, I know. And as soon as Mrs. Ingraham goes to tea, I'm going to go row Papa, but I'm scared to row Papa with Mrs. Ingraham there, right? And because here's why. She lent him to us in public life. And I know he may have been in public life before he got married, but that marriage ritual changes everything. And still, she had to lend him to us, right? And so she get to row, and if with her permission, I get to row too.
You know, you make such an excellent point in making that statement. A lot of people don't realize that when somebody has a public aspect to their life, the family has, they lose a bit of that person. And I can tell you that I lived that experience myself with Patty.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Sir Durwood Knowles's daughter had that very same experience. You know, when any aspect, and with Mr. Ingraham, I could see his family having those issues because whenever there's any aspect of a person's life that is public, you feel as a family member that something you're being, you mm-hmm. feel like you are sharing something you sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. like you go, I don't feel like sharing it with the public.
Not just that, you feel the critique laid upon your family member. You see, look here, and I know people feel it, and I don't care if you're making sense. Don't be talking about my family. Right?
Yeah.
It's such an important thing.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, people don't think about the family and the impact on the family of a person whose life has any public aspect to it.
And so these works are important as well for the family, right? Because you sitting there wondering, so what is filling the time that you're not spending
with us,
yeah. right? But when you can see, when you can feel and read the impact that your family members had on the broader country and culture, then you begin to understand.
Certainly. And furthermore, what is included in these, this is very subjective. It's the speeches that we determined were the ones to come in here. There were so many more. So that, yes, his time was spent away from the family and with the country, and he was very busy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the text said, listen, I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. Bruce, not Brave, Bruce McDonald from Bennett's Harbor, Cat Island. You saying that the Prime Minister did tee for your quote? Well, you know, he did remove the Immovable Properties Act. He did appeal that. So maybe you're right. He is a procurement specialist, like myself. So don't get upset. It's a skill set. Here's another text. Good day. And can't give you a quote, Brave say, except he can't sing the goodness. mumble, goodness of God, mumble, mumble, mumble. I rebuke this slander on Brave Davis. That man could sing. That's why I'm upset. Don't mind, he can't hum. That's what his problem. He can't hum. But he can sing, right? He went to Chogum in Fuji, and he sung a lullaby. I mean, it's the most beautiful song. Get on stage to sing to Bahamian people. Cannot mumble at all. Which is takes us back, like, what a man. For me, I think one of the most important things Ingram could represent to the country is this. Ingram is a family island man. He's an island man with a hard mouth. When I say hard mouth, he replaced the V with the W and the W with the V. Now, some people are going to say that that's incorrect. That is a dialectic function. Like how we chastise people for saying ax when we expect them to say ask. But ax is actually the medieval English pronunciation. Hubert Ingram, at first we used to say, oh, look, listen to him talk. We don't want him speak for us on the world stage. What a brilliant man. Every time he spoke on the world stage, he captured his audience.
But you know something that a lot of people never realize? Mr. Ingram is a intense reader and is constantly, he spends his whole day practically informing himself. You know, that was something that Patty did. And people don't realize those things are very important. For you to have an opinion on what's going on in the world, you need to know what's going on in the world. You need to be keeping up on this information. And he did that. That's what he was about.
And not just the news as it's presented to you in front of your face on the TV, but you have to understand the history that provides context for the current moment, and then you have to read the rewriting of how reading the history in the current moment causes us to rewrite
and how it sits in the world.
Yes.
You know, we as Bahamians, we have this kind of notion, island notion, you know, this insular notion of who we are when we are a little tiny island sitting in this big world.
I mean,
little tiny island country sitting in this big world.
The Bahamas saved the monarchy. Like, I don't. Like Ms. Butler, we got another story to write. Thank you for taking us to the break. I don't know if I like your timing, producer, but we, the Bahamas, saved the monarchy. Blind, blake, and shine. Love, love alone caused King Edward to leave the throne. Right? Believe in ourselves. Big up. You gotta be like Hubert Ingram. You gotta believe in yourself. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We have Ms. Teresa Butler and Nico Mikolas in studio. We're talking, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, Volume 4, The Launch. We'll be right back.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hope still lives in community. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for the Hope Walk 2026. On Saturday, June 8th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay. Walk alongside survivors, patients, caregivers, and families as we come together in support. Enjoy fellowship, vendors, activities, and our inspiring Hope concert immediately following the walk. Register at gdcancersupportgroup.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
To the world, he is your dad, but to you, he is the world. Shower your dad with love with a gift from Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale, Friday, June 9th through Saturday, June 17th. Save 20% off selected tool sets, luggage, and fishing, diving, and camping gear, except on net items. Shop at Kelly's House and Home on Saturday, June 8th. And if you are standing on the lucky spot, you could win a gift basket for Dad. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Shop Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day, 9th through 17th. Happy Father's Day from Kelly's House and Home.
Way past 21, I want you to leave me, baby. I have lots of fun. I'm a man. I spell him H-I.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Now, I swear, if ever the Right Honorable Hubert Ingraham had a theme song, it'd have to be this. It'd have to be Manish Boy. It'd have to be I Was a Man from the Age of Five. Mr. Ingraham. See, sorry. I can't call you Mr. Ingraham and say this. Papa. I could call you Papa and say this. After watching the Cooperstown video, I say to myself, this man, he was a man at five for real. I sure him and the big head. You can't make us call you Papa and then we cannot crack jokes about it, right? Like, you cannot create this persona of yourself and then we cannot engage you like that, right? I'm a little problematic with the Papa, and then it's reflected with Davis coming along saying, Daddy, obviously you don't understand what's happening here, Brave. But this image of this man, Papa, caused me to ask the question today, the two questions: who is the best prime minister and who is the most strategic prime minister? I think they sit between Pindling and Ingraham. You'll notice how my guests are refusing to join me in this part of the conversation.
Yep. I'm going to stay right out of it.
I go into the phone line for a second.
Please do.
Good. Producer, let's take the first caller. Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to say that I'm not a fan of the PLP currently, but I love Sir Lyndon Finland. He really made doors open for us as black people. Mm-hmm. And then comes Papa, but Papa is okay. But he did a lot for the white Bahamians, and we didn't get too much out of that deal. But I love Sir Lyndon, but I don't like this new PLPs now.
I hear you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do any of Ingraham's speeches address race relations?
No, not specifically.
Okay.
I would just say that all of these speeches show what he did for all Bahamians. And he never had policies that addressed one or the other race. In the Bahamas, what he did for education and health and community certainly benefited more black Bahamians than white Bahamians, but I don't think he would ever say that.
Okay.
But his policies was always toward doing for those that had least. And those that had least in the Bahamas are overwhelming our black population.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we just look at what it is that he did,
You know, one of the conversations, one of the things that he said when in speeches that he was making when we were launching in Grand Bahama was talking about the fact that he did not get to wear shoes until he was what? His first pair of shoes came when he was 11 or 12 years old, I think it was. But prior to that, he walked around barefooted. So you understand where he came from,
Yeah. Okay,
and what he became. Mm-hmm. And so it's impossible for you to say that he only, why would it have any, that's kind of...
And that's why reading these books are so important and why we must demand that all of our public leaders, everybody, governor generals included, must document the work in their public life. Now, where can we find Volume 4 and the first three volumes?
They're available at Logos Bookstore and Galix. Volume 4 is only available at those two locations. Volumes 2 and 3 are available also at Cable Beach Super Value,
okay,
and at Old Fort
04B Fresh Market?
Fresh Market. All right. Yeah. And at College of the Bahamas.
In the library, right?
If
you're lucky to hold a copy. I am going to try and hold one of these copies I see right now. Because like my papa, I am a procurement professional.
We'll make sure that you get it.
Absolutely. Ms. Butler, Mr. McCollis, thank you so much for joining. We'll have you all back to continue the conversation if you can tolerate my temper. I really had a good time. And I want to say one last time before we go, Sir, the Right Honorable Hubert Ingram, we need a Volume 5. We need quotes and interviews. Quotes and interviews, please. Thank you to the Ingram family for lending us this giant of a man. You guys have a great day. C.A. Murray and Guardian Radio AM is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.